the voice you trust for the family you love.
Shirley can tap dance. I was so blown away, I said, will you marry me? The younger generation does not know the things I said in there. Watch them in restaurants and see how they handle their kids. They don't have a clue.
I would not be doing this if I did not feel the hand of God in my back.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Today on Family Talk, we're going to zero in on some of those vintage concepts and writings as Dr. Dobson discusses the subject of marriage and how we can have love for a lifetime. In fact, that is the title of his book, so I think he knows a little bit about something like that. And it's been a bestseller for a number of years. If you'd like more information about it, we have that at our website, myfamilytalk.com. And Ryan, we really need to kind of hover around 30,000 feet here first to kind of take a look at this.
Take a broad look.
And then we'll zero down in.
That sounds about right. Yeah, you know, the book really was written for people like myself and my wife, Laura.
Yeah.
We're about to celebrate our fifth anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited about that. You know, and it's essentially a new relationship.
Yeah.
We got married real quick, didn't know a ton about each other, and things like this help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the listeners that I work with on my radio show are looking for things like this. And I think the Family Talk listeners are really going to like this. My parents have been married for almost 50 years.
Yeah.
That's what we're all striving for, and I think this is going to help it.
Well, we're not just talking theoretically, like you said. Doctor, last week our Family Talk listeners heard you give that stirring tribute to your wife, Shirley, mm-hmm. and then Shirley respond.
Mm-hmm.
As you talked about this 50th anniversary that Ryan just referred to, and I know I was not the only wife sitting there in the audience thinking, you know, oh, I want that, I want that, but we just don't know how to do it.
Well, Shirley and I have been very blessed, Luann and Ryan, because a good marriage is not an easy thing to achieve, but it's a wonderful thing that's worth everything it costs you to make it successful. And we're going to talk about some of the reasons that it is rather difficult to pull that off. Because even in compatible relationships, there are things that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I have said, in fact, that it is amazing that marriage as an institution actually works at all. You know, those two people that are standing at the altar are often immature, and some of them aren't even 20 years old yet.
Mm.
They're fresh out of adolescence, and they have a lot to learn. They can be selfish, often cranky much of the time, and very—
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
All of us.
Yeah.
We're all flawed individuals, and they are very, very different in background and perspective. They think they know each other. Ryan, you said it. You thought you knew Laura, but you've learned a whole lot about her since you got married. And all of us learn in those first few years. And sometimes we get some shocking surprises along the way, even, in fact, on the honeymoon. For one thing, the couple has too much time to think. Honeymoons are a problem. They're not, you know, above it all, as some people think. It's just going to be bliss for a week or two.
I remember you telling me, don't take too long of a honeymoon, you know. And I remember thinking, what? That's so weird. Why wouldn't you want to spend as much time with that person? I have heard crazy stories of honeymoon fights. It got a little too long. You haven't spent that 24 hours together. And then there's nothing else going on. It's you and that person. And
listen, you know what would be a really funny book that you could never write as a Christian and no one would help you write are the stories that come out of honeymoon. I mean, some absolutely hilarious things happen on honeymoons. If you don't mind, one of them happened to Shirley and me when we had lost sleep for 4 nights after the wedding, and it wasn't all physical that made that happen. We were just exhausted from having to prepare our own wedding because Shirley's parents didn't drive and my parents lived a long ways away, and we had to do it all.
Hmm.
We came into the marriage absolutely worn out. Yeah. We've been worn out ever since. But we finally got to San Francisco. And we stayed in the Manx Hotel there, which is an old hotel. And there were some women in a room next to us that were drunk. And goodness. They were going nuts. They were yelling out the window. And we were so tired and so exhausted. And finally, this sweet girl that I married, that I thought I knew everything about, went to the window, opened it, and screamed out, "Pipe down, you hags!" And I didn't know who I'd married.
I could not imagine Shirley doing that.
Yeah, well, there are other stories I could tell that I won't.
Yeah.
And neither will anybody
else. Because he
wants
to last to the 50-year mark.
You got it.
But it would be funny to hear those stories, can tell you. Mm-hmm. For one thing, you learn on that honeymoon how little you know about sex. Hmm. Even if you have been promiscuous, there's little that you know about married sex. Hmm. And it takes time to learn anything, and it takes time to learn about your sexual partner. Hmm. And that can create enormous tension and fear and anxiety and disappointment and stress. So the point is that the honeymoon often doesn't get you off on the right foot. And in our day, you know, a young couple brings baggage into a marriage that they brought with them from childhood. Some of them have been subjected to abuse and neglect. Some of them have gone through very difficult childhoods and adolescence where they've been taunted and bullied and treated to behavior by their peers that leaves them scarred and wounded. Some of them have been the products of divorce, and they have never seen what it means to have a good marriage. They don't even know what the model is.
Yeah.
They've never experienced it. And others, as I said, have been sexually promiscuous. They've gone through emotional trauma related to abortions and STDs and broken relationships in the marriage. They bring that into the relationship, and that makes it difficult to get along with each other. You know, that first few years can be very, very difficult because you have power games that are played. Who's in charge here?
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to make the decisions? Who's going to get up in the morning and make the coffee? Whose family are you going to spend Christmas with? How are you going to spend your money? You know, there are just a number of irritants that you really have to work through.
And oftentimes assumptions are being made that the other person has no idea. You know, I grew up in a very traditional family, and so moms stay home with kids. It's no big deal. You know, I married a girl that had been the president of an international ministry, and we have Lincoln, and I'm not even thinking that your identity has changed. You're now with a screaming baby all day long. And it was like, for me, it's what women do, you know, and that caused its own set of problems for me.
And often by the time you get through this early marriage stage, you got a baby on the way. And that makes hormonal changes, and that brings changes in the relationship, and that brings tears, and that brings anxiety. So, I mean, to hear me talk today and us talk, people who are not married would wonder, why in the world would you want to get into this? The reason's because life is difficult as a single, too, or any other way of life. Life can be tough. So you make the most of it. And that's why I wrote Love for a Lifetime, because there are some fundamental principles that are essential to forging compatibility out of these raw and flawed materials that will, as you said, Ryan, go the distance. That's the purpose. That's what you want to do with your life. Luann, I'm sure you do too.
Sure. I mean, you said, why do people get involved in it? It's just like, you know, having kids. I had no idea what it would be like to have Lincoln, but I cannot imagine life without him. I would be less of a person if it weren't for him in my life.
Yeah.
And with Laura, I would be far less of a person without her in my life. As difficult as it may be at times, it is well worth the effort.
And see, that's why I said a minute ago, it's worth what it cost you. But it's worth paying for it because there is such reward in achieving it.
Well, we saw a glimpse of that with that message we heard last week, Doctor, about you and your love for Shirley. I mean, that's what we're all reaching for.
Yeah. Well, life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And husbands and wives need to go into this thing called marriage, as someone wrote, with your eyes wide open at the wedding and half closed thereafter. It's a lot advice that you should not see afterward, and you let a lot of things go. There has to be an ironclad commitment to make it work. Divorce can never be entertained as an option. Mm-hmm. I can tell you honestly, I never thought about that happening or accepted even the possibility of it for 1 minute in 50 years, because I was determined to make it work, and so was Shirley. You got to build something that'll not only endure, but will grow and be a blessing to your children and your friends and your associates and to one another. That's our goal, and that's what we're going to be talking about.
Well, Doctor, I'm aware that we're probably speaking to people right now who haven't followed that. I mean, the word divorce has come up. I mean, Ryan, I think I remember hearing you say the other day that at one point you knew five couples in your life that were considering divorce.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that ironclad agreement, and it's got to be there. It seems today, I was talking on the radio the other day about this, first option when times of trouble comes is give up. Mm-hmm. In all areas, you're upside down in your mortgage, go default. Mm-hmm. You're in too much credit card debt, file for bankruptcy. Having a problem with a marriage, just file for divorce. It used to be those things were shameful. That was something to be embarrassed about. And now it's just, well, it's just one of the other people that do it.
And Ryan, I know that life is much more complicated than that in most marital breakups. We've kind of trivialized it, and some people have infidelity to mm-hmm. deal with and alcoholism and child abuse, and there are a lot of reasons for divorce, and I don't want to make it look like it's all just because they give up.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
We would insult a lot of people out there. Furthermore, since I said that we didn't do what you just said, I don't want to present ourselves, Shirley and me, as the perfect family that somehow floated above the challenges that affect everyone else, because we've had our bumps and bruises along the road just like everyone else. We've never had marital problems, but we've had to deal with things. And some of the things we've had to deal with are not common in other families. In our case, it has not been easy to live for more than 40 or 50 years together in a fishbowl. That's been hard. Shirley is a private individual, and if you had asked her when we first got married what she most wanted out of life, it would have been a huge family, most of them living close, who would come to our house for Sunday dinner, and that she would spend her life involved in our children first and then our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and to live a very private existence. But she married me. She married a noisy guy that the Lord had given a very public assignment to, and then gave one to Shirley. So she's out there where she didn't really choose to be either. And so we had to learn to live with that. And it reminds me of something that Shirley said to you, Ryan, when you came over last Sunday. She was talking about our pastor, Dr. Earl Lee, and his wife, Hazel, who after they retired, they moved up to the mountains above Pasadena, California, in Southern California, called Wrightwood, and the wind blew all the time. I mean, every time they step out, your hair was blown away if you had any, and he didn't have much, but Hazel had quite a bit, and she was really struggling with that. She hated the wind, but that's where they lived. And finally, he said to her, "Hazel, you have to make peace with the wind. You take life as it comes. You look at your circumstances, and you could gnaw your tongue over it, and you could even divorce over it, but you don't have to. You can make peace with the wind."
Well, Doctor, what I'm hearing you say is people who see your marriage right now and think it's perfect think that you knew exactly what you were getting into, and they're the only people that maybe entered marriage and life changed for them.
And it's very frustrating to people like that who hear me talk and say, how nice that your circumstances mm-hmm. were.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm going through.
Right. Right.
You don't know the man that I live with.
Exactly.
I do know him. I know him well.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody deals with those issues. You talked about the fishbowl. You and Mom had a fishbowl issue on a ski trip one point.
We did. I hope that you don't remember that. But it was about 15 years into our marriage. And by that time, we were living in the fishbowl. And I had written Dare to Discipline and Hide or Seek, and especially What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women, which had sold over 1 million copies. All of them did, in fact. And we were having to cope with visibility everywhere. I mean, you just go out in public and there it was. And then the film series came along. 80 million people saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden our faces were known. And so we had been skiing in Vail, Colorado. And we'd been there for about 4 or 5 days, and we had had a little bit too much togetherness. Have you ever had that happen? Where we were starting to get on each other's nerves. And we got in the car to drive down from Vail to Denver. And well, there was tension between us. We had hustled the pack. We were late. And we got to the airport, and we pulled up to that little area where a voice says they'll put you in jail forever if you stay here more than 3 seconds. And I was under tremendous pressure, and we had a rented car. We had a station wagon, and it was loaded with ski stuff. I mean, it had all the stuff in it. And it was bitterly cold. I mean, really cold, like Denver can get. And Shirley pops out of that car. And she didn't like to be cold. And she goes into the airport and stands in there looking through the glass, the window, at me as I got all that stuff out. And, you know, I'm thinking about that. When I'm late, I got to go turn in the car, and then I got to go get our tickets, and everything depended on me. And I'm carrying those boots, and I'm carrying skis and parkas and suitcases, and I would get a whole load out, and I look around. There's Shirley standing there. She's not even helping me. And the more I thought about that, the madder I got about it. Now, that may surprise you.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with this picture, Doctor. I don't see what the problem is.
Very, very irritated at Shirley. So I would bring a load in, and I'd whack it down at her feet, and I would go back and get another one. And my blood pressure was going up, and we were late. And I finally got about 5 or 6 loads hauled in there, and she's still standing there, and she's just smiling at me. And I couldn't wait to tell her how I felt about that. And so I turned to her, and I said, Shirley Dobson, why aren't you out there helping me? And I really told her how I felt about it. It wasn't rude. I was angry. And at that,
sure?
I was both. And a little man came up to me from behind, and he said, Dr. Dobson. And I turned around. He put out his hand. He said, I want to meet the man who has taught me how to really love my wife.
Oh, no.
And I could have died.
Ouch.
And I turned around to Shirley, and I said, I want to introduce you to my sweet wife.
Yeah.
I faked the whole thing. But it's life in a fishbowl.
It is.
Yeah.
And we had to get used to that. Now, Ryan, you are more visible right now than you've ever been, and you're going to be a whole lot more as this program grows.
Don't I know
and
it.
And you've got your own program. You've mentioned it 2 or 3 times. It's called CoreCast, and it's on internet radio.
Oh, yeah.
And you can pay me later for the plug.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
okay.
it. Yeah.
But you're having to deal with this fishbowl life too, aren't you?
We are. And for me, I'm a verbal processor. I go on the air. I talk about everything. But Laura is not only more private, hasn't lived in the fishbowl like I have, is new to the experience.
Yeah, we will pray for you in that regard, because everybody that God has put out there in that role, Luann,
sure,
you're going to get it too.
Well, it's not really a fishbowl, but my life is kind of like a zoo sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for us, that wasn't the issue, but probably like a lot of people out there, it's just the pressures of life. I mean, when I had 4 children in the home, it was very easy for me to become child-centered instead of marriage-centered.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I would think, well, my husband, he can take care of himself, but look at these little people, you know, they can't do it. And we had to wrestle through all of that and all of the challenges that brought.
Mm. Well, we could all give illustrations of that. And isn't that the point?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is life. If you think it's only you, you just haven't paid attention.
Yeah.
Because it's everybody. It's everybody. And marriage will not survive that unless you're determined to work through it, accept things you can't change, and give where you can give, and then work your way through the problems that are beyond just pushing under the rug.
That's right. You know? And we want to tell you that you're not alone. Yeah. That we've
that's
been
right.
through it, we go through it, we deal with it, and that's why we're doing programs like this, to let you know you're not alone, that others have struggled through this, and we're going to help you through it too.
Ryan, this may take you into uncomfortable territory, but when we talk about the fishbowl, this was not easy for you and Danae either, because it's not easy being the children of one of the world's most visible family experts. That is tough under any circumstances. And we shielded you from that as long as we could, but eventually it caught up with you too. And you had a moment that stayed with you all these years. I know because you mentioned it the other day of something a sixth grade teacher said to you.
Oh, yeah. You know, we were talking about it with Laura, and I said, from the sixth grade on, everything changed. We had a substitute teacher come in one day, Luann, and she was taking roll, and she said, Ryan Dobson. I said, here. And she goes, oh, you mean like Dr. Dobson? And I said, yeah, that's my dad. And she goes, oh, honey, I know you wish he was. And I thought, what? And all my friends were like, no, it is, it is. And they were yelling, and I didn't know what to do. And I thought, well, why do I wish what? And then she got embarrassed and flustered. And then I felt like I had made a teacher uncomfortable, and I didn't know what to do. And it finally settled down. The next day, she brought in a stack of your books, Dad, for me to then bring home for you to sign for her an autograph. And it felt weird, but you don't say no to a teacher. And so I bring them home. And of course, you were like, oh, of course I'll do this. And I thought, what? You know, what is going on? But that was just the beginning.
Yeah. And you know, I understand what that teacher was thinking. She wasn't trying to insult you.
No, of course not.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't have a clue that that would upset you. She's just excited about somebody she'd heard on the radio and the books that had been in her home and the influence they'd had on her. So it made all kind of sense everywhere but in a classroom where you sat.
Sure.
And that's just the point. We don't understand each other's stress points. That's one reason that we are often critical of each other when we haven't lived there. We haven't been through it. They don't know that we had fishbowl sensitivity in our family, and I don't know what they're going through. And that's what we're trying to say here. You're going through your own struggles, and they can affect your marriage, and we're talking about working your way through them.
That's exactly it, Doctor. For you, it was on this huge level, but I'm thinking of the pastor's wife out there who feels like she's living in a fishbowl, or the child whose dad is the teacher or the coach, or just all of these struggles that come up dealing with step-parenting or blended families or something like that. It all looks different, but the struggle is still the same.
Have you gone through them?
Of course.
Luann? I'm asking you to validate what we're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
You and Steve have been married 25 years. To all appearances, you have a wonderful family. I admire it greatly. And your children, your little boy was here yesterday.
Yes, sir.
But you know what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And you can't compare it to somebody else's because it's your own depth of pain. Some people hide it. Some people, it's very public. But I know there's someone listening right now who is saying, that's exactly how I feel, and I didn't realize that.
You know, we talked earlier about you bringing baggage into a marital relationship. Shirley and I went together nearly 2 years before she felt comfortable in telling me that her father was an alcoholic or had been. And it's something you hide. You don't tell anybody. Here I am falling in love with this girl, and I don't know the most basic thing about her childhood. And it wasn't until we got married that I saw how it affected her emotionally and her self-esteem. And I talked about that in bringing up girls. We really do need to be more sensitive to each other. And I'm trying to say to people out there today that if your marriage is going through serious problems like this, in most cases, you can work through them. You may need a counselor to help you talk through them. You're going to need a lot of prayer. and you're going to need an ability to talk to each other, because millions of people have overcome them, and you can do it too.
What you've really done for us today, Doctor, is lay out the reality of marriage with all of its struggles and its bumps, but also remind us of those joys and those rewards.
If you want it to go the distance, if you want a love for a lifetime, what a great title for a book. You can make it happen too with God's help. And we're going to be talking more this week about the challenges and what to do about them. Now, you said at the beginning, Luann, that we were going to fly over at 30,000 feet. That's what we've been doing, been looking at the overview. We're going to bring this down now to ground floor, to terra firma, and talk about specifics and the principles that marriage is based on. And they can help you go the distance, and that's what I try to write about.
It's what we've promised we do here at Family Talk. And for listeners who'd like to get a copy of your book, Love for a Lifetime, Doctor, they can even get an autographed copy, I hear. They can get more information on our website, myfamilytalk.com, or they can always write us, Family Talk, P.O. Box 51010, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80949.